You're listening to Makers, a podcast from the NewStack about at-scale application, deployment, development, and management. For more podcasts, videos, and articles, visit thenewstack.io. Thanks for listening.
Hello, and welcome to another fantastic TNS Makers podcast with the NewStack. I'm Daryl Taft, news editor of the NewStack, and our goal is to continue to inform you about the latest and hottest developer issues of the day. Today's episode covers why the Ballerina programming language is the strategic language for cloud-native computing. And our special guest is Eric Newcomer, Chief Technology Officer at WSO2. So hi, Eric.
Hey. Hey, Daryl. How are you doing?
Doing well. So can you tell me, where did Ballerina come from and whose idea was it?
Founder of WSO2 is Sanjeeva Weerarana. He's an ex-IBM research guy, one of the inventors of WSDL, a real computer scientist, visionary, and inventor. A lot of patents, a lot of papers while he was at IBM. He spun out WSO2 after, I guess you could say, some of his ideas and proposals were not funded at IBM and created his own company called WSO2. And initially, it was all focused on web services. That was his background. And we got into integration from there. Web services used a lot for integration. And along the way, he noticed that it was just kind of too hard to do development for integration. You had a special language like a DSL or, special type of XML, some configuration files that were specific to your integration product. And if you're a developer in a company, you're having to learn one language to create your business functionality and a different one to create your integration. And on top of that, there were a lot of limits on those integration languages. And his insight was, let's have a real programming language that can be used for integration that avoids limitations of DSLs and XML config files, and that can also be used for business functionality. So that's how it got started about 6-7 years ago. And just to abstract the whole middleware and integration concept into an easy-to-use syntax. One of the things he says about the motivation, and you can find this probably on YouTube, one of his talks about it, is his view, the way people interact with computers is through languages. A programming language is a way that people know how to tell a computer what to do. And of course, computers are really just stupid unless you tell them what to do, and the way you tell them is through programming language. And the way you tell computers, people tell computers what to do is through that language syntax. So if you have a language syntax that's oriented toward integration or, in fact, as it has been evolving toward cloud-native computing, it's going to help people think about and create those applications in a better way, because that's the way people tend to think about it. And the language influences thought and design and productivity. So that's really where it's coming from.
So whose idea was it? Was it Sanjeeva's?
Yeah. Yeah, he has it's an older video now, but you can find this, I think, still on YouTube. I've watched it. And he was talking about the London Olympics. This was, a while back, and how there were so many activities at different places, and something needed to coordinate those or choreograph them all to make sure they happened at the right time, had the right outcome. And he thought of this analogy for distributed computing. There's a lot of different things happening in different places, in different programs, in different apps. And you need to have something to tie it all together to create some coherence or some, choreography, you might say. I guess that's where the name choreo comes from, to make sure everything happens correctly in that way. So that was kind of the original inspiration for it, was to figure out how to get highly distributed applications to work together in such a way that you have a determined outcome, a consistent outcome.
All right. So the question is, why did we need Ballerina? What was it about the move to the cloud that rendered other languages obsolete?
Well, it turns out that cloud computing is very much evolution of distributed computing, of integration. When you're talking about cloud-native apps, you're talking about a lot of microservices that need to talk to each other and that need to talk to a lot of other APIs. In the cloud, everything is an API. When you stand up an app server or a data store or do any kind of analytics, it's all API-based. When you have a SaaS program out there that you use, that's API-based. Everything is APIs. And you need something more natural for a programming language that understands that APIs are not internal to a program, which is how Java is designed. It's like all, you know, it was designed initially like 20 something years ago for greenfield apps. You built everything from scratch, and all the calls and the APIs were for internal objects, internal classes, internal procedures to that space of the language. So it was never really designed for this kind of environment where everything is highly distributed. You get all these APIs external to the language and data types external to the language. You know, traditional languages are designed, the data types are designed to support the goal of the language. A long ago example is COBOL had a lot of data types for text processing and reporting and creating report business reports, and C had a lot of data types for supporting system programming capabilities, pointers and memory management, all this kind of stuff. So the thinking of those languages up until more recently was, let's have the data types, let's have the functions that support inside the application what we want to do for functions. And we need to turn that around. And Ballerina turns that completely around and thinks about, what are the functions outside of the program that we need to talk to? What are the data types that people use to communicate as a kind of lingua franca in the cloud, in XML, JSON? Those are all built-in inherent data types in Ballerina. They're not in Java. Those are like foreign objects to Java. You have to transform and serialize and do all these hoops just to get the data and the format for sharing in across the cloud. Ballerina, that's just all right built in. So it's a lot of kind of impedance mismatch when you take a language that was not designed for this type of highly distributed computing, and you try to bolt on the libraries and the data types and all the functions that you need to do to get that to work. Very simple example. You look at the hoops you have to go through in Java to do an HTTP call. You have to manipulate the string and get the URL correct, figure out the data types, transform the data. It's a lot of code just to do an HTTP call. But in the cloud, HTTP calls are normal. That's what everybody does. That's the default. That's what like 80, 90% of the APIs out there are HTTP based now. And so you don't want to have to bolt that on with a library and do transformation and all kinds of string manipulation just to do an HTTP call. You want that in the syntax of the language. So it's like 5 lines of code instead of 50 lines of code because the language is designed for it.
Okay. So who was the primary target for Ballerina?
I would say web developers who want to get involved in enterprise apps. There's just been this kind of dividing line in development community between people who work on web apps to do the HTML coding or the JavaScript coding, and people who do the app server coding in the old world, the monolithic apps and J2EE. So you kind of have these enterprise developers on one side, the web developers on another side. What you really need in the cloud is the ability for web developers to create those enterprise apps very easily. So you want to give them something very natural and familiar, like a JavaScript, like a TypeScript that they're going to easily pick up and use to create those cloud apps on the server side. It's a different world now. You've got a lot of the programming and processing on the client side, on the mobile device, on the web page, all very active web pages, and that has an impact on the server side. So you want these web developers to be able to do both. To do the web app and to do the server app very intuitively.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying this is like a JavaScript or TypeScript or cloud native?
Yeah, it's the language design is really based on informed by TypeScript and JavaScript, but with some additional capabilities that are helpful for kind of the server side of processing, connections to data, manipulation of data. It has a SQL-like language in there that you can use for data manipulation. I mentioned earlier, you can create records and schemas for JSON payloads in and out to support the APIs for the mobile apps, the web apps. And it has concurrency for concurrent processing of multiple calls, transaction control, things like that, but in a very familiar syntax like a TypeScript or JavaScript.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Can you describe or talk about some use cases for Ballerina?
Well, we're using it in our product called Curio. And Curio is a framework built on top of Ballerina. It takes advantage of some of the capabilities in Ballerina. Ballerina has within it a built-in way to create diagrams. This was something else Sanjeeva thought of back in the early days. And there's been this challenge in the industry for a long time. How do you represent your programming code in graphical form? There have been many attempts at this, and mostly it falls down around tripping. And Sanjeeva solved this by putting into the language syntax elements from which you can create diagrams. And he did it in such a way that you can edit the diagram and create the code. So this is something that's very important in Ballerina, that people want to be able to see visually what is that, what are the distributed apps they're creating. And we're applying this in Corio to a capability for, you know, we're looking at this market, particularly where companies are creating differentiated digital apps. You know, you have to compete now digitally. You know, it used to be in the old days, you walked into a bank and you figured out, did you like the service that you got in the branch? And now you look at your mobile phone and you say, do I like the type of mobile app I have from this bank, or is another bank a little more attractive? Same with retailers or transportation. So competition has moved pretty obviously from, you know, in-person bricks and mortars into digital world. And to cope with this, people need to create their own apps. They can't buy their differentiated experience for the customers. You know, competition now is on, you know, how well you do there, how much you create for the, you know, great customer experience you create. You have to create it, because if you could buy it, everybody have the same thing, there'd be no differentiation. So we're orienting Ballerina through Corio toward the development and deployment in the cloud of the API services, microservices, integrations you need to power those apps. You can spend your time working on that great touchscreen experience, interactive experience, and connect up to all the APIs for the data that you need, the integrations and services to supply the data. So it's not necessarily a specific use case, but it's kind of a class of use cases we're going at with this. And something else that's very important in Ballerina is within it, you also have the metadata you can extract to create Docker files automatically and create Kubernetes configs automatically. And we're taking advantage of that in Corio for a one-click button. Take your Ballerina code that you've seen visually. You got it all figured out, what your API calls are, your concurrent processing, your transformations, your functional steps, your microservices, whatever you need to create. You have a library of components you can bring into that process as well. You have a palette of things you can choose from. Get all that created, and then you hit a button, and it goes through the code, and it finds all the metadata you need to create the Docker file and the Kubernetes config, and just pushes it out there and runs it. So this is for us, we're taking advantage of ourselves and monetizing it through our commercial product. But we see this available for anybody. Ballerina is a free language, it's open source. Anybody who wants to use it can get the same advantage of easily creating those APIs. And it's not just RESTful APIs, but GraphQL and gRPC and webhooks, async APIs, event-driven architectures. All of that multi-protocol stuff that's needed for multi-protocol APIs are needed for different use cases.
Yeah. You hit like maybe five of my questions in that one response, so that's good.
Okay, I like this.
One thing I'm curious about, and I think we've gone over it to an extent, but if we could kind of take it further, is does Ballerina have a low-code component? And by that, I'm talking about the diagrams to code issue.
We go back and forth on that a lot, because we sometimes call it the low code because you've got a diagram you can work in and you create the diagram and it generates code. And that has low code characteristics. But the low code tools that are out there have so many limitations, we sort of hesitate to put ourselves in that bucket. The low code tools are great for assembling the components they provide you out of the box and the palette of widgets or whatever they're providing you to get things done quickly. But you can run into a wall with that, because if there's not something, if this functionality is not built into the low-code tool, you have a difficulty extending it. So with us, there's no barriers, there's no limits. You've got the diagram and you've got the code. You can work in either, and it's full code. It's a full programming language that you can do everything with. So I'd say, yeah, it has some characteristics of low-code, because you can work in a diagram, and I think it's more productive for many people to use a diagram to do the coding or to even just see the result of the coding. But we hesitate to call it low code because I think there's a definition out there in the market that's not quite the same as what we do.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how Ballerina relates to Corio? And I know you just went through that, but we could get more of a background on Corio.
Corio is designed as an all-in-one platform for digital transformation projects. We worked with a lot of customers over the years of our API management product, our identity access manager product. We've gone in the direction of digital transformation, and we've noticed they've spent a long time building up the platform before they even start developing. They have to figure out what development tools they want to use, and if they're in the cloud, they've got to go through all the cloud native services and all the, you know, whatever cloud provider they've chosen. If it's Amazon, there's something like 200 services, or Azure, another, I don't know how you, sometimes it's hard to count them, another few hundred, Google, a different hundred, and they're all different. Each cloud provider has its own set of services. That's how they compete, right? They try to attract you by the unique collection of services you have. But that creates a big challenge for consumers who have to evaluate and put together the selection of services that they need for developing and deploying the applications they want to build. And sometimes we've seen our customers spend up to 60% of their digital transformation budget just assembling the platform they need so they can do the development. And even then, some of the projects fail because of the complexities involved in setting this all up. You know, kind of classic example is on Kubernetes. You bring Kubernetes into an app dev shop who haven't seen it before. It's a big complexity to set up a Kubernetes cluster, to manage it, administer it, never mind if something goes wrong, to troubleshoot it. And we just want to take that all of that away and let people focus on development. So Corio is all about everything's in the box you need to get started with developing your digital apps. You've got the development environment, that what we talked about, low code or pro code or diagrammatic code to help you have a great developer experience. And by the way, this is all hosted in VS Code, so a very familiar development environment for everybody. And then once the, you know, the code is created, we give great developer experience, and there's a push of a button in the Corio tool that goes through and does all the deployment out to Kubernetes and takes all that away. So we're saying here, you can leverage the unique characteristics of Ballerina for diagramming the code for native APIs that can handle all types of APIs that you need. It can bring in the components that you need from external APIs very easily. It has the data types you need for communication across the cloud native microservices landscape. And it has the metadata in it that you need to create Docker files and Kubernetes configs. So all of that's in Ballerina, and Corio is built on top of that, take advantage of all those things to put in one platform what you need to start developing and deploying those apps so you can start iterating on it.
Well, I saw a list of the top five Java frameworks for microservices, and Ballerina was one of them. But the question is, why go to a whole new language, and why not just use Java?
Do you remember object-oriented COBOL? It's been a while now, but I think about that. It reminds me of that. This whole conversation reminds me of that. When Java came out, I think it was in the mid-90s, COBOL was probably the predominant language. COBOL and C were the two main languages, general purpose languages everybody was using. So the whole revolution of object-oriented computing was coming out, and these procedure-oriented languages didn't have the same capabilities. And it was a big effort to retrofit COBOL. I mean, C had C++, and you can argue about the success of implementing object orientation in C through C++. I think it had some success, but a lot of complexity there. Anyway, in COBOL, they tried to do the same thing. They tried to retrofit a procedure-oriented language with object orientation, and they did it, but did anybody really use it, and was it the right tool for the job for object-oriented programming? Java was designed for that from the ground up and became the predominant language for object-oriented computing because it was designed for it. We're in this the same kind of thing today. We're going to cloud-native computing. Java was never designed for it. It's not the right language for that. And now, you know, we see all these efforts out there with, you know, Quarkus and Micronaut and MicroProfile trying to retrofit Java to be cloud-native when it was never designed for that. So really a better solution is have a language that's designed from the ground up for that highly distributed cloud native environment that you need to engineer for, rather than, well, why spend all this time retrofitting a language that's never designed for it? I mean, the fact that it's not designed for it is evident in the fact that you see all these efforts to modify it and retrofit it. So it's pretty clear that it's not the right language. And is the right solution to try to retrofit or try to modify Java to somehow compensate for its shortcomings? Or is the right solution to have a nice, clean, new language that helps you think and reason and program more quickly in the cloud?
Yeah, I got it. So how is Ballerina beneficial to DevOps teams?
It has within it the metadata to extract, to create a Docker file, and to create Kubernetes configs. And we've taken advantage of that in Corio. If you're a dev team, Ballerina provides a code-to-cloud module you can get from the Ballerina website to do the same thing yourself. So it does help. There is a kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it an add-on or a plug-in to Ballerina. It's called Code to Cloud that helps specifically with that piece of extracting the information you need from the language to create Docker files and Kubernetes configs. And there's a command line utility you can use to process the code for that. So you use Curio, it's all automated. But in Ballerina, if you're just programming in that VS Code, you have a command line that can help you with it and some other manual steps you need to do, but you can definitely do it.
Yeah, that's one of my questions was, and you delved into it a bit, but the significance of the Visual Studio and VS Code integration.
We started with Curio creating our own editor, but it became apparent pretty quickly into the beta that a better solution would be to just link into VS Code. So we provide in Curio, when you hit the edit button, we fire up a VS Code window and put all of your code in there, and the diagrams work completely in there, just as well as they would have worked in our own editor. So we did a plugin to completely implement that functionality. And then you can use Visual Code, which is VS Code, on your own desktop and upload the code into GitHub and make it accessible to Curio and take advantage of the deployment and monitoring and AI capabilities it has there. So we wanted to make sure that we're not creating a closed environment. Ballerina is open source. You can use Ballerina on its own. And if you want to use VS Code with Ballerina on your desktop and then use Curio for the deployment piece, that's fine. If you want to use Curio for the development piece as well, it's all built in and integrated.
So is Ballerina just another integration technology from WSO2? I mean, I know that's been the company's legacy or part of it, and not to knock it, but that's what some of the analysts have talked to me about.
Sure. Our history is integration, and the Ballerina language came out of integration. But it turns out that problems of cloud native engineering are, you know, 90% integration, or maybe 60, 70, I don't know what percentage you want to call it, but a huge part of it is integration and data, passing data. So it turned out Ballerina is very suitable for cloud native computing. One of the reasons I joined WSO2 is a potential of Ballerina to solve this problem for moving to the cloud. I was working at Citi for a long time. I was chief architect for Treasury and Trade Solutions. I was leading the cloud migration there. Efforts that brought in OpenShift, Docker, Kafka, and did a pilot on AWS. And we knew what we wanted to do. We wanted to get to the cloud. We wanted to be cloud native. We needed the auto scale for our payment processing systems if it was an unpredictable load on those. But getting there was a different story. We knew we needed to get there, but we didn't have developers who understood what microservices were, how to create them. It's a different paradigm for sharing state, for connecting to each other. You have to be independent. If you want to have auto scale, you have to have microservices without shared session state with other microservices or with data stores. It's a big ask because to get these benefits of the cloud, you need to engineer for that environment to get those benefits. And nobody really knew how to do that. And if you had a language that would help you engineer your applications or re-engineer applications for that environment to get the benefits of auto scale and resiliency and independent agility for updating your apps more easily, this could be huge benefit to those companies that are really struggling with this. So I wouldn't say we're done with it, but I think that's where we're going with it. And the foundation is very solid right now. We came out with a major new release a couple months ago, intuitive APIs, intuitive data. We need to do a little bit more, I think, on the persistence level to make that more intuitive. We've got connectors to all the data stores, but because persistence and how you manage state is such a big challenge in the cloud, that's a work item we're currently looking at.
Okay. This is sort of a throwaway question because you're going to answer it the way we'd expect you to, but if you were back at Citi, if you were back at Credit Suisse and somebody pitched Ballerina to you, what would be your response? Would you take it on and why? And how would it help you?
Well, I'd probably respond the way a lot of customers respond, although I think it's less of an issue it used to be. It's about, you know, where am I going to find the developers and how well is this adopted in the industry? And that has definitely been a challenge. It's going to continue to be a challenge, and we're working, we have programs around that to improve the marketing and adoption of Ballerina. I would try it out. I would check it out. I would definitely do some POCs and some kick the tires types of activities on it to see if it was really what it claimed to be. And if it was, I would try to find a way to introduce it into some project. But of course, I would also want to be reassured on the whole community aspect and the adoption aspect. The last thing I can say about that is I think today it's more of a multi-language world than it used to be. You know, 5-10 years ago, I think people would just settle on one language for the enterprise. And now we hear some of the analysts saying they're picking 2 to 4 languages, Python and Java and maybe Rust and Swift or Kotlin or something that seems like it's more widely recognized now that we're in a multilingual world the way we are in a multi-data store world. You've got NoSQL and SQL and search databases and different databases for different jobs. And you've got different languages for different jobs now that are coming out. Rust is known for system programming and Kotlin is known for mobile programming. And why not a language for cloud native programming? I think that's the time is right.
Yeah, no, I agree. So typically on that side, the other side, when you were at the banks, how much in terms of resources would you put into a project to look at something like Ballerina?
It would depend. I would start with assigning one person to check it out, to do some code, to do some programming, to verify the claims of the vendor, so to speak, or of what we might have heard from analysts or seen in the news. And if it looked promising, I would look for an opportunity to start putting it in place somewhere. The way we got microservices and Kubernetes into Citi was to find some applications that were being invested in for strategic reasons and that could benefit from the newer technology. So if we had a case where we were trying to move something to the cloud and we were struggling with figuring how to develop it, and Ballerina looked promising from terms of doing what it said it would do, we would try it out and see if it created that benefit for that project. And if it did, we would roll it out. If it didn't, then we'd go on to something else.
So where do you see Ballerina in terms of some of the other Java-like or Java-based frameworks, like Spring Boot and Quarkus and Micronaut?
Well, those things are pretty popular, especially Spring Boot, and a lot of people use them. I think it's harder to use them for the purpose than it is for Ballerina, but you can do it, and people are very successful with them. The challenge exists across the board. Right now, Ballerina is running in the JVM. It's a JVM-based language, and a lot of the challenges with Java in the cloud come from the JVM and the startup time and the fact that you want to have smaller units of code that you deploy out into microservices and have them activate quickly and shut down quickly. So that challenge goes across the board for anything in Java. And for us, we've got it under development, a native version of Ballerina that will help solve those problems. So I think some of the challenges are common across all of us, but some of the challenges are unique to Java. And I'll just tell you one story about this. When we were working on web services years ago, a bunch of us, I was at Iona at the time, we had a seat on the executive committee running Java. And some of us brought forth a proposal to have an XML data type in Java because it would really help us with web services. Everything was XML. And Sun, who controlled the language at the time, said, no, Java is what you develop. You derive XML from Java. You don't derive Java from XML. So the language kind of suffers. So all these languages have this sort of encumbrance of the fact that Java was seen as the one way to do everything. And the data types in Java are not compatible with web data types. And cloud native computing is really a lot about bringing the web programming model into the enterprise. You're talking about RESTful APIs that used to be just on the web. Now that you had the web server, kind of the RESTful APIs ended there, the web server connected up to the internal servers, that barrier's broken down. Everything is from the web directly into the company, RESTful APIs, web APIs, everything is being done the way the web would do it. And Java was not designed for that. It's not just the XML data type that's not there. There's no JSON data type. There's no really inherent concept of network APIs either, and RESTful APIs, never mind GraphQL APIs, gRPC APIs, async APIs. All of this is going to be a challenge for any of these Java frameworks because it's going to be extra work and extra overhead and extra complexity to get the whole to work.
Yeah, I got it. So last question, and there's like two parts to this, but where do we go from here? What do we see as the future for Ballerina? And what's the adoption or the pickup been like since the announcement of GA?
definitely picked up some interest. We've been seeing a few more, like the article recently about including us as one of the best frameworks for cloud native computing. That's something that's happened recently. We've got some hackathons going. We've got some people starting to use it, starting to put in production. I think that the uptake is slow but steady at this point. And we're thinking Corio is going to help us as well, because it's leveraging the secret sauce or the magic of Ballerina to help, you know, people get their job done faster. Once they see that, I think they'll see Ballerina and get the benefits of it, understand it. So I think the momentum is starting to build for that, for the cloud native computing, but the job's not done. We've still, we'd be certainly interested in collaborators to help push this forward if we can arrange that and maybe bring it into a public forum for debate and standardization and extension. A couple of areas that we know we need to work on is the persistence, to make that more intuitive. We're looking at eBPF technology, which can take the place of the sidecar-based service mesh used for qualities of service. That looks very promising. And finally, we've got workflow and automation for kind of long-running processes and tasks that can be orchestrated in a more unified framework for somebody. So those are things on the horizon that we think will help drive further adoption.
Yeah, those are good things. And like we just mentioned, that you're in the top five of these frameworks that are being recognized. So I think it's a good start. Place to be.
Number five with a bullet. Going to go up to number one soon.
All right. Just want to thank you and thank the listeners for taking time to listen to another dynamic conversation with the New Stack. And as always, we appreciate your support and feedback. And we'll see you on the next episode of TNS Makers.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes on the New Stack Makers. Create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more articles and great stories, go to thenewstack.io.